We're back with another WABE Medical Minute. I'm Jim Burris. From his office, as always, is WABE Medical Analyst Dr. Ford Vox. And Dr. Vox, kind of sparse on health news headlines of late, huh?
It's healthcare policy all the time. Just like everybody else, you know, I thought the American Healthcare Act was dead back on March 24th when the Republican leadership withdrew the bill. Who can forget this statement from House Speaker Paul Ryan?
Obamacare is the law of the land. It's going to remain the law of the land until it's replaced. We did not have quite the votes to replace this law. And so, we're going to be living with Obamacare for the foreseeable future.
But he persisted.
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to give anybody credit for in this mess, persistence. Essentially, the entire healthcare enterprise in the country was left out of the reformatted AHCA that passed the House last Thursday. Patients, hospitals, doctors, everybody I know railed against this thing, but by force of will, the Republican Party got it done.
Now, I recall you saying you weren't really impressed with the first bill, and I'm guessing you're not exactly smitten with version 2.0.
I can't find anything positive to say about the revisions. Everything appears worse to me. I really hope some senators agree. You know, whereas the first bill was making some promises it couldn't keep about protecting pre-existing conditions and essential health benefits, this bill passed by offering states a way out of those protections. Georgia has historically favored insurance industry lobbyists over healthcare consumers. I can easily see our state removing Obamacare protections as a way of making insurance cheaper for healthier people, you know, letting irresponsible people go without insurance, and making insurance really useless for the sick because it's either unaffordable or it doesn't cover their condition.
Well, I wanted to touch base with you about some reporting I've been doing, and it's about an Obamacare provision that's received criticism from Republicans and Democrats. It's called the Independent Payment Advisory Board, or IPAB. Now, I recently spoke with Mary Greeley. She's the head of industry trade group, the Healthcare Leadership Council. Take a listen.
And so the concern here is that physicians who already are paid less under Medicare than they are under private insurance will not be able to see as many Medicare patients as they have in the past.
Now, Greeley says her own physician has a sign in his office saying, "I'm no longer accepting new Medicare patients."
So this IPAB is it's a blue ribbon panel of experts who are going to go to work cutting if Medicare spending goes over a moving target that's based on a formula involving economic indicators. It hasn't been triggered yet, but we're really in a period right now where the Medicare chief actuary might have to call for it at any time. It's one of many cost-cutting provisions in Obamacare that are focused on keeping healthcare expenditures from getting out of hand. You know, even though it's got its critics across the political spectrum, the GOP's latest plan doesn't address IPAB.
Many of those critics say because it is a politically appointed board of 15 people, there's no accountability. I mean, we as voters cannot boot them out if we don't like how they go about making these cuts. Others support the idea of the board not having to cave to pressures inherent in an elected office. So I'm curious, where do you fall?
Hey, an unelected panel of experts actually makes some good sense. Basically, nobody has the guts to cut Medicare spending. It's not something that politicians who want to get reelected are prone to do. I think we can all agree that there's some wasteful spending going on. But I think what bothers a lot of people about IPAB in particular is how it's a rather blunt instrument. The panel is supposed to make cuts to reach a certain monetary target. I think a better option might be something like the UK's National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. That's an agency that's continuously reviewing the evidence, and it's doing cost-benefit analyses on everything in healthcare that the government pays for. NICE's guidelines do generate a lot of controversy from different patient and provider groups. I would definitely join in that criticism, I think, if we had such an agency. But at least it's an open process that's inviting debate, and it has the potential to save money. And ultimately, the government doesn't have to follow its recommendations.
In the meantime, the IPAB clock continues ticking. Thanks, Dr. Vox.